Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, Errol.
How are you doing this morning?
Hey, doing very well. How are you?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And I love the idea that you just continue to write. You continue to create. You are giving creativity this blessed name because you just keep giving to readers.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, it's something I enjoy doing. Happy to do it.
Well, readers need to know that you do enjoy it in the way that you also open up the door for a lot of other authors that may not have ever gotten the opportunity. And I wait for that day when a child from 2021 comes up to you and says, I am, because you went through another author to inspire them, I'm a writer as well.
That is wonderful always to hear that and to know that there are new generations of writers coming up that will bring their own fantastic stories to the world.
Speaking of fantastic stories, I love the idea and what you did with Daughter of the Deep. I mean, this right here is really going to create a relationship with readers.
Well, I hope so. It's a very different story for me. I'm known for writing mythology, mm-hmm. but this is really science fiction. This is a tribute to Jules Verne and the story of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Captain Nemo and his ship, the Nautilus. And this was my effort to bring that story into the modern and talk about marine sciences the way that I've talked about mythology in the past.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing that, because in this age of space races, I mean, you're talking about the open sea, and that's the one thing that we cannot forget about what's going on out there in that water.
Well, sure. It's 75% of the world. It's 80% still unexplored. More people have been to the moon than have been to the bottom of the ocean. And yet, you know, 75% of the life on Earth is underwater. So no matter where we live, if we're landlocked or not, the ocean affects all of us.
Did you go for a deep dive before you wrote this book just so you could get that experience?
I did. I went for several. This book has been 15 years in the making, and during that time, I did a lot of research. I became certified in scuba diving. I've now dived many times in the Caribbean, the Mediterranean, even in Iceland, just to get a sense of what it's like in that very, very different world. And so I could write about Anna de Carre, my hero in this book, from a perspective that was more informed.
Well, I love being under the water like that, because it's like you're moving through the universe and the universe is moving through you at the same time. It's just so amazing what goes on underneath the water.
Everything is different. The way light hits the world is different and changes the color spectrum as you go deeper. The way sound travels, obviously the marine life and the way they interact, and the interconnectivity of marine life is something that's really evident when you're under the water, and it's something I don't think you can get any other way than being there and in the midst of it.
My wife is a teacher, and she always talks about how her students read your books, and she really wanted me to ask you, did you plant an Easter egg, a Percy Jackson Easter egg in Daughter of the Deep, that somewhere in there he makes some sort of a cameo, maybe not as Percy, but a character?
I'm sorry to say no. Oh. There is absolutely no connection between Daughter of the Deep and Percy's world, because one is magical and mythology, and Anna's world is science fiction. So there is literally no connection. However, having said that, I certainly think that if readers have enjoyed Percy Jackson, they are going to recognize in Daughter of the Deep the same humor, mm-hmm. the same kind of interesting characters, the same action. It's very much a Rick Riordan book, but it's based on science fiction.
I love the humor that you put inside your pages in the way that, because I'm blessed with the opportunity to talk to a lot of comedians, but they have to sit there and they have to practice those jokes over and over again. And I often wonder, do you do the same thing where you sculpt them? Do you practice them on people? Or is it like, okay, I'm going to trust the universe. I'm going to let this just hit the page.
No, I mean, the great thing about writing humor is that you have the comeback line always there that you wish you had spontaneously in real life. It's very much like comedy in that way. You have to practice it. You have to finesse it. And it's great to be able to write dialogue in which you always have the right thing to say. I've never been able to do that in real life.
I love writing dialogue because it puts me as the writer inside a conversation. And to me, it feels like it's happening in that moment. But at the same time, how do you keep from being the perfectionist and going in there and really super editing it, or going to a thesaurus and putting words in there that people haven't even heard of before?
Sure, that is a danger. I think that the best thing that works for me is to read the lines out loud.
Oh.
And when I do that, they come across more naturally. And I'm able to catch those lines that just don't flow. So that's my best suggestion on that, is read everything aloud and you're going to catch a lot of that.
So in this book, Daughter of the Deep, did the actual bus ride take place and then you built upon the story?
Not that actual bus ride, but I have, been a middle school teacher, and I have been on a lot of bus rides and a lot of field trips. So I was certainly drawing on personal experience there. Nothing that traumatic ever happened, thankfully, on a school trip that I took. But yes, Anna De Carr has her work cut out for her. Her whole world is turned upside down, and she's got to rise and become a new Captain Nemo very quickly.
One of the things I've been so inspired by with your circle of writers and stuff like that is that you guys didn't stop during the remote learning and things like that. I mean, I remember when they finally let the kids go back to school, I got to go inside and I saw your book and it's like, oh my God. And so there's no way that you as a writer saw what was going to happen with the pandemic, but yet your words let the kids have a place to escape too.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's the great thing about books, is they can be escapes no matter what's happening in your real life. As a writer, I mean, I was very fortunate. I work from home anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, the effect of the pandemic was not as dramatic as it was for many people. I simply kept writing. But yes, I mean, Daughter of the Deep was the product of the pandemic. It's what I did during that time. And I don't think it's an accident that I'm writing about a very claustrophobic environment, a submarine, and you're sort of stuck there with your group of friends, and you have to make the best of it and figure out how to navigate this unknown world. So there really is a lot that people will relate to, I hope, in Daughter of the Deep, about going on that voyage.
And I hope it inspires readers that when they go to a city like a Charleston or an L.A. or a city that has a port in it, because, I mean, Charleston has the Patriots Point where you can go onto a submarine. I really felt like that when you wrote about that. I remember telling my wife, he's been on one before. He's been there.
Mm. It's a very different environment. I mean, I've done tours. I've never actually been out on the sea on a submarine. But, yes, it's something I spent many years doing research on. And the sea, no matter where you live, it's so much a part of our life. It's so important. There's not a thing on earth that the ocean doesn't affect.
Don't you love the way that a writer will research? And that's what I want listeners to understand, is that do the research. Don't just sit down and write on a piece of paper. Do the research and turn that experience into paragraphs. Because it sounds like that's what you do.
Well, yes, absolutely. I always want to know about what I'm writing and be as informed as I can. Now, of course, there is a danger to that, is that you can over-research and then try to put all of that information in the book. And you don't want to do that either. You want to just research what you need. And just because you know it doesn't mean you necessarily need to put it into the book. That's something I learned the hard way early on as a writer. But yes, absolutely, you need to have the material.
I get to do the show and stuff like that, which is broadcast everywhere inside a home studio, and you say that you write at home. Where are you getting your people connection? Do you have a job outside the house where you can sit there and stare at people?
I like to be a people watcher.
Yes.
You know, wherever I am, I tend to be a city person, so I'm always surrounded by people, always interacting with people, even if I'm, you know, not working in a sort of a more traditional office. So that's where I get that. And of course, online, you know, we all have done Zoom to death, I know, over the last couple of years, but it is a great way to keep in touch with people. And honestly, I have loved the virtual events that I've done recently because it allows people to connect with me from all over the world.
Yes.
And they don't have to necessarily be in a major city where I'm doing a tour stop. They can be anywhere and they can join in the conversation.
That Zoom changed everything. To me, that was like the Beatles of this generation. I mean, it because it affected everybody.
It did, and it's going to be very interesting to see how much of that becomes a permanent change in the way we interact. I don't know.
As that teacher, do you find yourself going, okay, we need to do something? Because, you know, you're never a former teacher. You're always a teacher throughout life and stuff like that.
Sure.
And these future students, it's like, how do we get them to reconnect to the most valuable thing they're going to hold for the rest of their life?
Yes, that's always on my mind. And my heart went out to teachers during the pandemic because I know how hard they're working and how incredibly challenging it is to try to go suddenly 100% online. Mm-hmm. And then not to know, you know, when am I going to be in the classroom? When am I going to be virtual? There's so much uncertainty. There's so much anxiety. It's a really tough time to be a teacher. But one thing I know about teachers is they are resourceful, mm-hmm. and they are, you know, infinitely creative. So they will rise to the challenge, but it's a tough time.
Within your writing space, is it controlled chaos or is it prim and proper and just as neat as all can be? Because you know how creative people are.
Yes. Well, I'm not a very organized person by nature. So yeah, I'm more on the controlled chaos side. You know, people ask me what my daily schedule is, and I say honestly, I don't have one.
Right.
I just try to write every day, but you know, every day that could look different.
Oh my God! If it wasn't for the Google Calendar, I would be in the studio all day. Because I love to create.
Yeah, I get that. Well, that's good. It's a wonderful thing that when you love what you do, I can certainly relate to that.
Do you have a favorite writing instrument, or are you putting your fingers on the keyboard?
No, really, it's mostly just word processing for me. My handwriting is awful. You know, if I tried that, I couldn't read anything I wrote. But yeah, I mean, I have laptop, will travel. I like to write in a lot of different places.
That to me is the fun part about being a writer. And then what I'll do is I'll do a defrag journal just to say, okay, on this particular day, I wrote this scene, and you kind of explain it, hoping that somebody in the future will go, oh my God, this is connected to that chapter.
Oh, that's a great idea. I've never done that before, but yeah, I like that.
It's like what we do in radio. They call them air checks. You break it down, and then they'll sit there and say, okay, so why did you say what you said, and how could you have done it differently? So I do that as a writer as well. It's like, okay, what did this paragraph mean to you, and what do you think the reader is going to feel?
I love that. It probably makes you much more conscious of your process. Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah, Mr. Perfectionist is what it is.
That's what, okay.
you've always been actively involved with nonprofit organizations and stuff like that. What is the group that you're with, sir?
Oh, well, I you know, I try to help out with a lot of groups. There right now, one of my favorites is called More Than Words, which is in my adopted hometown of Boston, and it works with at-risk teens and brings them into a bookstore where they learn the insides and out of the business. They learn how to be self-sufficient, how to sell the books, how to do everything from stocking the shelves to interacting with customers. So not only is it getting books into the hands of people that need it, but it's also going behind the scenes and getting kids life skills. It's just a wonderful, wonderful program that speaks to everything I love.
See what I mean? Right back to the original thought we were talking about. You're going to inspire somebody to become a writer, and all of a sudden they're going to meet you and say, it's because of you. It's because of you, Rick.
Well, if that's the case, I am just honored to be part of their journey.
All right. Dude, you got to come back to the show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
Oh, thanks, Eric. It was great talking with you.
You bet. You be brilliant today, okay?
All right, do my best. You too.